Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, folks. I know, we've had some technical difficulties, and I'm sorry about that, but I am on the road, and sometimes they happen. I'm actually in St. George, Utah, and it's far away from Boulder, Colorado, and the cell phone service is a little spotty, and I tried everyone's phone here and finally got one that went through. It wouldn't even call. It was really crazy, but okay, here now. And today's show, first of all, hi, welcome to Time to Love. And I'm Lydia, your lighthouse of love. I'm teaching, motivating, and guiding you on your journey to loving yourself. Who the heck else? Who else are we going to love? If you don't love yourself, it's really hard to love other people. So, I'm on the road again. And this time we traveled by car from Boulder to St. George, Utah. And we came for our godson's wedding. So today's show is Lessons Learned from the Road. Yeah, I love to learn, and I am constantly learning. I am committed to learning at least one new thing a day, and when I travel, oh, I learn so much. Yes, it is quite the learning experience for me, and I do like to, I like to reflect a lot on the road. I like to, I don't even know if I'm on the air. Hopefully I'm on the air. And if anybody wants to call me again and tell me that I am or I'm not, that's good.
Hi, Lydia. Brenda. You are on.
Oh, good. I'm glad I know. Cause, hello?
It's I'm Nina. On. It's okay. I am on online, so I'm watching things okay. For you.
Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart. I appreciate it. Okay, so now I will rest assured that I really am on the road. I'm using another phone because my phone wouldn't even dial out. So, okay, so, the lessons that I learned while on the road are amazing, and I tried to think of what those were and came up with quite a few. Now, one thing is, when I travel, I do learn a lot, and I am my husband and I both are avid map readers. And it actually concerns me for today's young people that with all the modern technology, they might not know how to read a map. I love looking at all the things on the map. I like to kind of follow. I like to guess how long it's going to take me. I absolutely love it. I've learned a lot by looking at maps. And, yes. Even being born in BC, which stands before cell, I do use Google Maps, which I find to be interesting too. Yes, so I'm not completely technologically backward. I do use technology. But today I'm going to tell you some things I was thinking about while driving yesterday. They're my lessons for life that I've learned actually from travel. And the very first one is to relax. Go with the flow. Yes, that's a big thing. And we talked about from funky to flow on a previous shows, but there are things that you can control when you travel, like when you leave or when you stop, how often you stop, or, well, I guess that depends on your bladder. So maybe that's when you have to relinquish control for that. But, the trip is so much easier when you do it relaxed. My husband is not as relaxed as me. He has a very stressful job. And I actually, when I watch him drive, he usually likes to drive first. And when I watch him drive, I can really see the longer we go, the more relaxed he is. And I just love that. If you're really tense, I don't know, I'm going to suggest getting a massage before you go, okay? Remember to breathe. Now, I usually surround my car or the train or the plane or whatever conveyance I'm taking with light, bright white light, and I breathe into it. Worry does nothing for me or anyone else for that matter. If I was truly in a worry mode, I'd check in with my higher self and ask if I should go. And it is important in this life that we listen to ourselves. I feel this is easier if we love ourselves. You can seems like they kind of go hand in hand. If you love yourself, you're going to listen. You're going to listen to me. It's the higher part of you. You might want to say the God within you, your angels, whatever you call it, that part of you. It's a gut feeling, you know. And if I was really, really frightened, I would listen to that voice. I think that sometimes we get that voice. In fact, I'm really strange. I read a lot about people's survival stories, about when there is, a plane accident or something like that. And you can read it. There are people who will tell you their story. They were late to the airport, or they had a feeling and they changed their reservation. I'm not sure what that's about, but, I listen. Now, we live with fear. It's just part of our lives, and a lot of that is reinforced today. It's reinforced by if there is some kind of tragedy, they seem to go on and on and on and on and on about it on the news. And sometimes that filters into our consciousness. Well, not sometimes. I think it does filter into our consciousness. And, you know, it's hard to get away. So, you know, you're going to travel. You're going to do something. And there's friends, well-meaning friends, who are like, you're going where? You're going there? Oh, my God, they just had blah, blah, blah. You know, the stuff they've seen on the news. And it can be frightening. But I really believe that it's better to get out of that fear mode and relax and go with the flow. You know, after 9/11, I needed to fly to Chicago. And, you know, there was a part of me that, you know, because it was in our subconscious so much, and I didn't even watch television very much. But, you know, the images, everything was in my mind. And I was a little bit uptight about it. And I all of a sudden I remembered to breathe and to really surround everything with white light and let it go. I'm kind of a strange person. I'm not really frightened of death. And you know, if that's the way I'm gonna go, I don't think I'm gonna be able to stop it. That's my personal opinion. And the people who even decide not to get on the plane or in the car, I think that they didn't avert death. They listened and they followed, and they weren't going to die anyway. That's just my opinion. You can say I'm crazy. It's okay. Yeah. So I also believe that when you relax, you definitely enjoy the journey more. I don't know if you remember the movie Parenthood. Oh, I love that movie. It's with Steve Martin. And in the movie, Steve Martin is a dad with his own family and his brothers and sisters and their families, and then his mom and dad. And I love this movie as it shows how imperfect we all are, and maybe our parents were not perfect. And then we get the lesson of being a parent and realizing how gosh darn hard it is. And while we might not make those mistakes that our parents did, we're still probably going to make some mistakes because, after all, kids do not pop out with instruction booklets. I really wish they would. You know, just like you and your husband, you know, maybe they're like Uncle Harry, and we don't talk much about Uncle Harry. you know, and they are their own person, not our clones. You know, and of course we want life to be better than them for them, but that's not always the case. But anyway, in the movie, Steve Martin is a very tense guy, and he loves his family and his kids, and they are having problems. And some of them he perceives as being tense. He's aware that he's a tense person. And his wife, who is, oh gosh, I forget her name. She's absolutely wonderful. Okay, I'm not remembering it. She is amazing. But so she's more fun-loving, and she goes with the flow. And anyway, at one point in the movie, Steve Martin's grandmother, who's living with them, and seems kind of out of it. You know, she says weird stuff. But they're uptight, and they're getting ready to go to one of their children's plays. And And the grandmother says, you know, life is like a roller coaster. You can be frightened and tense, or you can enjoy the ride, you know. And later on, there, and he kind of makes light of that, like, yeah, Grandma, she's, you know, she's loopy anyway. He's like, that's so profound, Grandma, you know. Doesn't say that to her, but he looks at his wife, and his wife gets what the grandma is saying. Anyway, later on at the play his son is in, his youngest son perceives his older brother to be in danger. And his youngest son is a real free spirit. And he runs up on stage to save his brother from a bad guy, and all chaos breaks out. You know, he's running around yelling, and then it shows Steve Martin looking really tense and scared and wanting to run up there. And then they shoot like a scene, and it sounds like, you know, a roller coaster when it's going up, you know, it goes click, 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 and it's going up and up, and it shows Steve Martin looking so tense and scared, and by then, you know, all pandemonium breaks out, and the little kid is running around the stage chasing the bad guy, and the set falls over, and then he looks around, and all of the, you know, and he's thinking the play is ruined and perceives it as this terrible thing. But then he notices that the whole audience is laughing and enjoying it, and he starts to laugh, and he stops white-knuckling it and holding on for dear life, and he starts enjoying himself. I just love that scene. Yeah, I just try to remember that part of the movie when I start to get tense. It's just so much easier in the ups and downs of life to just enjoy the ride. You know, the ups are quite thrilling, and dropping down really quick, yeah, that's pretty thrilling too if you go with the flow. So that's one of my very first lessons, is relaxing. And I talked to my husband, and I said, what would you say are some good lessons that you learned? And it's so funny. He had one that I hadn't thought of, but he actually had the same ones as me, and relaxing is very, very much what he put, relaxation. Yeah. So, and I know that some of you are listening on the computer, and I'm so glad that you're with me today. But if you'd like to call, the area code is 646-727-2914. And if you're listening online, you may, if you want to talk to me or tell me anything about what I'm talking about, you may want to press 1, and then I will know that you do want to talk to me. I think that, and I know, and I'm grateful that Nina is in the chat room. I'm very grateful for that, and she's holding down the fort. Like I said before, sorry about that mix-up, but, you know, stuff, life happens. And I didn't get uptight. I just kind of went with the flow. We tried a few phones and found one that works. Yay for friends. Okay, number 2, remember to check out what's around you. Very important. So many times we go through our routine with blinders on. You know, the things that horses wear so they're not going to see to the sides of themselves and get freaked out. You know, we just see straight ahead, and we miss all the things that are around us. Oh, my goodness, this was such an amazing drive. I have never taken this exact drive before, and it was absolutely beautiful. We also, my friend Nancy wanted to come to the wedding with us, and so she drove with us, and she is one of the most fun people I know. My husband's lots of fun, but I think Nancy's even more fun. And she is like a kid when she sees beauty. It was such a beautiful day. We got up early. We got on the road by 7, and we had a nice, cool morning. It was beautiful. And we went to some of the Rocky Mountains along I-70. If you've never taken that route, it's just absolutely amazing. You go over several passes, and it was crisp and clear and just a spectacular day. And we all marveled at the beauty of what was around us. And I just never get tired of driving through our beautiful mountains. And we went through the Eisenhower Tunnel is one of the passes, and it's this long tunnel, and then you come out and you're in Vail. Vail is very beautiful. Then we went through Glenwood Springs and on to Grand Junction. There was majestic mountains all around us, and some of them even had snow on them, which is very unusual for July. Yes. After Grand Junction, we followed the Colorado River, which was very full and beautiful. And I kept looking for the route that the train had taken on the way to San Francisco. You know, this spring I took a trip with my sister. It's in the archives if you want to hear about that trip and the train ride. It was just, it was amazing. And I did. I could see where the train went. Some of it I couldn't. But it did follow I-70 quite a bit, although it went through places that I-70 doesn't go. But then we were in Utah. Oh, my gosh. This state is so rich in minerals, and you can see it from different rock formations. We pulled into an overlook of the San Rafael Reef area. Yeah, there was actually, this was all underwater at one time, and it was amazing. We learned quite a bit of things from the signs that were there. You know, and sometimes we just don't stop. You know, we're so in a hurry to get from point A to B that we do forget to enjoy the journey. And there was a sign at the rest stop saying that they had mined for uranium there. And in fact, at one point, there were 50,000 claims for uranium. Yeah, there was a lot of uranium in them there hills. But it was so beautiful. I love the rock formations and the colors and the textures, so rich. Yeah. I started to drive after we stopped at the rest point, and I had had a really busy week. But I got to think about my radio show and what I would talk about. Normally, I'm working on it all week long, but this week was so busy, and I knew it would come to me. And I knew that being on the road, something would present itself to me. And it was great. When I started to drive, my husband and my friend, Nancy, took a little nap, and it was really quiet. And I let my mind go and started thinking about lessons I learned on the road. And that's where I started coming up with this talk. So really and truly, remember to check out what's around you. Beauty is everywhere, folks. And I think I talked about when I was working a job and you know, I had a practice of waking up and feeling grateful, and I do that every morning. But then sometimes when I would drive in traffic on the way to work, it was pretty heavy. And you know, I'm the first to admit that yes, I do get up a little uptight when I drive in heavy traffic. But I always caught. You know, no matter which way I went, no matter how fast I went, I always got caught by the light. And usually I made it through after one cycle. It was a long light. It was on a parkway, so it was a pretty busy intersection. And so I started looking at the clouds, and in the distance I could see the mountains. And I just observed all the beauty around me. And the birds loved to fly in that intersection. I don't know if they were catching insects or what they were actually, but they'd swoop. And I love watching birds because if you don't know this, I love to fly. And anything that makes me feel like I'm flying, I just love. I've done skydiving. I've done parasailing. I've got hot ballooning. My next thing I want to do is riding in a glider. But anyway, anything that makes, so I like to observe birds and watching them fly, and, you know, it just feels carefree. When you're flying, you're just not thinking of what's worrying you, I don't think. Anyway, birds do that for me. I really, really like it. Yes, so be observant, you know, just really check out what's around you. Lift the blinders. Don't just go from point A to B. It's a cliche, I know, to enjoy the journey, but I truly believe in it. I truly believe that we need all to enjoy the journey, most definitely, yes. So the next thing that I've learned on the road is to be patient. And, man, I could learn lots more with that. You know, what I've chosen to do in my life, two things I've chosen to do in my life, one being a parent and one making pottery, both of those things teach you patience. But I could still learn a lot more. I'm the first to admit it. Maybe we all do. But I guess I could lump that in with going with the flow. Yeah, I'm keeping it out because sometimes it takes time to get where you're going. And I mean this literally as well as metaphorically. So to be patient, to look around you, and be patient. You know, if you're stuck in traffic, you know, just go with it. Start talking to the people you're with, or crank up the tunes, or chant, or sit there and breathe. Or maybe that's the perfect time. You're not driving then. You can look out the window and see what's there. You know, maybe you'll see the love of your life in the next car. You just never, ever know what's going to happen. So be patient. Be patient with yourself, with the journey, with your trip. Be patient. I think that's a very good advice, and I'm learning that as well. Now, when I'm on the road, I definitely have time to reflect. You know, the miles go by, and even if it's my husband or I, and even a friend, you know, there's something about driving that I can kind of reflect on what's going on in my life. And when I reflect, I'm just so grateful for what's before me and also what's within me. I'm always grateful for our car, which is a minivan, and it takes us to so many amazing places. One Christmas, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but one Christmas, my wonderful husband came home and he said, this was right before Christmas, he said, you know, let's drive down to Mexico for Christmas. And, of course, I looked at him like he was nuts. But he's a creature of habit, even more so than the average person. And so this was unusual. And I wanted to say no, and then I thought about it, and I thought, whoa, that sounds like an adventure. And it really and truly was. And our car has quite a few miles on it. But the places it has taken us, besides Mexico, it's taken us to Yellowstone and the coast and, you know, just now to Utah and to people's weddings, to such amazing events. And I really put my energy into my car, and I'm grateful to have the freedom to drive where I want. And the money to pay for the gas, of course. In fact, I do have a story about that, and I'll definitely tell you about that in a little bit. Okay, yeah. So reflect about it. Don't get real serious with it, but just kind of reflect and maybe give thanks for what you have and what you want. Maybe you're reflecting on how you want to manifest the things that you want in your life. And you know, it's great. I take along with me in the car a lot of very spiritual books, and so sometimes I read things to my husband, and I'm learning so many things right now, and I am learning about manifesting. And so, you know, I'll read something to my husband, and we discuss it, and I love it. I love to reflect on the road. I reflect on nature. Sometimes I reflect on this time, you know, as we're driving through these amazing, they look like sculptures to me, these amazing rock sculptures. I reflected on what was it like to see this before there were roads through here. Sometimes I'm like amazed that they can build roads, you know, because when we went to this to that reef, San Rafael Reef, there actually was a road through part of it. Someone had to build it. They probably had to dynamite it. And, you know, I know a few people that would love to work with dynamite and blow things up. But, you know, I think about what it took to build that road. But even before that, I think of the people who, first of all, the native peoples who walked through the area, that explored that area, and what they encountered. you know, it's a desert out this way, and, you know, it must have been hard to explore this. Then they had cars. I mean, not cars. Sorry, I jumped ahead. They had horses, and the horses had to go through the area. And I started thinking about horses and how grateful I'm sure cowboys or the first people that rode out, you know, thought these horses were so amazing. Yeah, I'm just, and I don't know enough about history. I don't know if the Native Americans had horses here right in the very beginning, but I know that they valued them too. You know, got you from A to B, and you didn't have to use your feet. And then I wondered about water. You know, they must have all knew where the water was. And how long can a horse go without water? You know, I must admit that I'm not a horsewoman. I have friends that are. I love them dearly. They're just such amazing creatures. Yeah, I think, anyway. So, you know, I wondered about all that. I reflected on all of that. So, you know, it was amazing. When we drove to Mexico, I reflected on, you know, when we first got into Mexico, it was a little, you know, strange. You know, it's a different country, and a lot of people, thank God, spoke English because my Spanish is pitiful at best. I mostly use sign language, and, like, I know baño and cerveza, but, you know, the important words, bathroom and beer. But anyway, I don't know that much Spanish, and I marveled at, you know, I'm an older adult, and I feel like my time to learn languages is probably come and gone. And I did the Spanish I know I learned in grade school and high school. So that's really the time to learn it. So we started seeing these signs written in Spanish. And my husband, he knows Spanglish pretty well, and we also had a book, and it told you what the signs meant. But we found some signs. We just couldn't figure out what they were trying to tell us. Hopefully it was nothing important, like stop. No, that's alto. I do know that word, too. And I started thinking about what it must be like when you're an adult and you come to this country and you don't know the language. And you know, it's darn hard to learn many cultures, especially Mexican culture, Hispanic culture. Very proud. And I've worked with many people that have come from South America and Mexico. And you know, they were embarrassed to try to speak the language because they were embarrassed they might say it wrong, and they are very proud. And I felt a little bit of that going into Mexico and not going where the tourists go and trying to figure things out. And I had a little more compassion for people that come to my country, to our country, and how hard it must be for an adult to learn the language. So I think that was probably something I learned on that trip, definitely. Okay. Now, my husband put down something that I wouldn't have thought, but he put down inner peace. And I asked him about it. I said, what is that to you? And he said, the open road is so calming, and the forward motion and the pressures of the day-to-day can be let go. First of all, you're on vacation. Why not enjoy it? But my husband likes to drive, which is a good thing. He drives a fair amount in his job, and I think he just really finds it calming. If he's not stuck in traffic, it's very calming. And I have to say that because my husband is feeling good and I'm feeling good, there is a lot of inner peace. I understood what he meant by that. You know, it changes the whole dynamics. You're not in the day-to-day. The blinders are lifted. You're seeing new things. It's exciting. I'm always up for an adventure. And so we love the open road. We get a lot of peace from it. Then there's another lesson that I've learned, and that's synchronicity. And I did a whole talk about synchronicity. And even in my day-to-day, I often think of who am I going to meet, or how can I be of service? Will there be someone to help along the way? This time, along with most of the time of my life, I run into people quite magically. And there was an instance that I want to talk to you about. It was, you know, I did a whole show about synchronicity and what it means and had a great example of how that works in my life. But it just always surprises me how things work out, how I meet people, what happens. It's just like, it feels like magic to me, but to me, it's like how the universe works. I really don't believe in accidents. I believe in magic, and I believe in intention. And so when we were in the car yesterday, and we were getting closer to St. George, I texted my friend whose son was getting married. He's my godson. And so I texted Margie, and I said, you know, we're here, and so we should be getting to St. George soon. But I needed to know the address of the house that we're going to meet at before the dinner party. It wasn't really a rehearsal dinner, but it was, you know, it was the parents of the groom giving a party for the bride and the bride's family. So, which is pretty traditional. Anyway, so she said, oh, I'm going to send you an email with directions. And when I got the email, there were a few people on the email, which I didn't even look, but I read the directions, and they seemed very convoluted to me. And I'm thinking, and they said, you know, we got lost when we tried to find the house last night, and so we want you to know you should follow these directions to the T. And they had them coming from all different places, but they didn't have them from the exact place we would be coming from. So, you know, I looked at them and went, whoa, I think I'll Google this. Anyway, I'm looking at the email, and I see a name that it was sent to, and it was sent to Alora Shanley. And almost the breath went out of me, and I was like, Alora Shanley? Could there be another Laura Shanley? And I went through my mind, and I tried to figure out how the mother of the bride would know Laura Shanley. Now, she did live in Boulder, the Boulder area, for a while. So, and I'm like, but it just didn't seem possible. And so, and I said to my husband and my friend Nancy, I said, you know, I know a Laura Shanley, and she's on this email, and wouldn't that be funny if it was the Laura Shanley that I knew? Well, I should know these things. My life is so amazingly on track, and the universe just works in amazing ways. And so we went to our hotel, and we freshened up a little bit, and then we got ready, and we went to the house where the party was. And my friend Neil, he's the father of the groom, and his family, the Huckstead's, they all had a family reunion. They figured, you know, why not? Since we're there, life is short. We're going to have a bunch of family, so we're going to have a family reunion. And they got this amazing house with, I think, something like 10 bedrooms. And they had, believe it or not, they had a baseball field at this house. They had a pool. They had a mister. In the pool, they had places to put umbrellas I don't think I mentioned that last week in St. George, the temperature was 111. Can you say hot? Yes, very hot. Not just hot, very hot. But they actually had, it was cooled off, and it was 104. I actually heard it was 107 yesterday. Okay, what else did they have? They had a full basketball court. I didn't see tennis. I mean, it was absolutely amazing house. And so we tried to follow the directions, and we Googled it, and it was really crazy. When we Googled it, it said that some of the roads were partially closed, and I wasn't sure what that meant. But we decided to go with Google, but we got up to this one road, and it said no trespassing, and it was dirt. My husband said, oh, well, let's go the other way. Let's try and go back and try and find it another way. We kind of saw where all this new building was going on and in the distance. But, you know, the only way we could see to get to it quickly was to go past the no trespassing sign. Luckily, I am not the only rebel in the group. My husband said, no, let's go around. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. But Nancy, adventurous, fun-loving Nancy, she goes, just go through it. You know, there's no cops sitting there or anything. So, and I was all for that. You know, I thought, no trespassing. Sign everywhere, sign. Yeah, you know, forget that. We went through the no trespassing sign, and you could see clearly that it was for a lot of people that were doing building in the area. It was a brand new subdivision. We found the house, which was very good. And I walk in, and I get to see a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time, mostly the groom's family, the Hoxsteads. They were, you know, his mom and dad were there, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And just a lot of people were there. And then I go over, and who's sitting there? Yes, Laura Shanley, my friend from Curves that I knew. And that we always hit it off. She's an amazing woman. She wrote a book on unassisted birth. She is strong, vibrant, amazing. And when she first joined Curves, she was going through a very hard divorce. And what was really sweet is that she did acknowledge me. She said that I helped her through that time. And with my, you know, with who I am, I'm positive, I'm motivating, I love people, and she's just someone to love. She is absolutely amazing. And it was so great to connect with her again. It was like old home week. I'm so glad that we went to that party because we were pretty tired. I think I'd gotten about 4 hours sleep the night before and driving all that way. I was kind of tired, but, you know, I'm so glad that I listen and that synchronicity is alive and well in my life. It is, it's just amazing. Now, I have another thing to tell you to do, and that is to listen, but specifically make sure that you're listening to your husband. Yeah, I really have got to learn that lesson. It's becoming apparent more and more as I get older, and, you know, I'm pretty headstrong at times. But the night before we left on this trip, my husband had been looking at the map, and he said, you know, there is a stretch of I-70 that actually goes through 100 miles with no services. I didn't hear that. I thought he meant, he also was talking about how boring it would be to go through the desert. And I think I started arguing with him, and I just kind of didn't hear the no services part. And I'm arguing with him how beautiful the desert is and how beautiful the drive would be and that I was looking forward to it because I'd just gone through that area with the train and I found it not to be boring at all. I thought it was absolutely, the rock formations were blowing my mind and it reminds me of, I'm arguing with him. Okay, so we're on the road and my husband drove the first, 300 something miles and I was going to drive and they were taking a nap. And I said to him, again, I didn't listen to my husband, so please listen to your husband or your wife. And so before he fell asleep, I said something like, oh, yeah, we've just had under a half a tank, it looked like, but why does the last part of the tank of gas always go really, really fast? I don't know. But I said something like, oh, I wonder where I should stop for gas. And he said, you know, we should probably stop in, I think, Green River was the name of it. I can't remember. Anyway, but you know what? I poo-pooed it in a way. I didn't listen to him. So, you know, I am learning. I'm constantly learning, and I should have listened to my husband. But here's the thing. He wakes up after we had passed Green River, and he said, you didn't stop? And I'm like, oh, no, you know, we've got, you know, a good, you know, more than a quarter tank, and, you know, we're going to be fine. And where's the next place to stop? And he says, remember I told you that there was a 100-mile stretch with no services? Huh. And normally I try to fill up, but this is driving in the city. I try to fill up when mileage hits like 300, I've gone 350 miles on a tank of gas. It's getting pretty low by then, and I just fill up. I also made the big mistake of bragging how I had never have run out of gas. Maybe you can all see where I'm going to go with this, but you won't know because I'm going to surprise you. Okay, so I'm driving, and then, like I said, it's getting far. it's going down pretty fast. And I think we had 20-something miles, 20. And my husband was worried. And I started panicking. I really did. And then I got calm. And I just realized that, you know, I can create us doing anything, even driving on fumes. And I had two thoughts. I had one thought that if we did run out of gas, we'd be fairly close. And I just knew in my heart that someone would come and maybe I'd even know them. I had that thought because I meet people all the time. And also I had the other thought that maybe we would be helping someone to be of service. You know, I think it's good karma. If you can help someone, and I help people all the time, then, you know, I'll get it back. Someone would stop and they'd go, oh, yeah, we got a gas tank, gas can. I could see that maybe they even have gas in it. I am an optimist. I really am. So, but then I started realizing, you know what, I just know we're going to make it. I know we're going to. But, you know, I was a little scared, but we were going downhill into this town that we landed in. Anyway, long story longer, we did make it. But we were on E-E-E-E-E. And I, you know, I don't know what it was. I don't know if I created more gas. My husband, he is the manifester. Maybe he manifested more gas than we had. I don't know. But we went 469 miles. And I don't ever, ever remember putting more than like 19, maybe a little more than 19 gallons. In fact, I thought it was strange, but I thought, well, maybe we have a 19-gallon tank. I really never knew. And it seemed like when we first got the car, you know, a long time ago, they said something about I thought they said we had an 18-gallon tank, but we had put 19 gallons in it at one point. But so we put over 20 and a half gallons of gas into the tank. I don't know. I don't know if it's synchronicity, luck, prayer. I don't know. Our angels intervene. I have no idea what got us into that town. But I was really glad. And like I said, I did panic a little bit. Then I relaxed and I thought of all these different scenarios. But really the strongest scenario I had was that we would make it. And I started picturing us driving up to the gas place and getting there and not even, you know, not necessarily dying when we got there. So I'm not sure what saved us, but I don't know, you know, we were definitely guided into that gas station. And I learned not to brag, and I hope I learned to listen to my husband. Because you know what? He's right a lot of times. Yeah. So don't tell him I said that, okay? He will get a big head about that. Yeah. So anyway, another thing that I have learned on the road is to be kind. Yes. I have to say some of the kindest people on the road are truckers. And I've driven with a few truckers before in my life. When I was in my youth, I've hitchhiked, and they told me about some of the kindnesses that they believe in, and that is their creed. And they are very kind on the road, and they will stop a lot of times to help you. I'm grateful for them on the road and bless each and every one of them. It's a hard to be on the road all the time, and they bring us our food and all kinds of things. I'm grateful to truckers. Then the next kind of people I would have to say that are very kind drivers are Texas drivers. So kind. We were driving in the hills of Austin, outside of Austin. And it was just two lane. We've been on that road a few times. And, you know, if they're going slow, they'll pull way over to the right side, hugging the pull-off area and let you pass them. They are so kind. My husband and I, both Texas drivers, are some of the kindest ever. But, you know, folks, be kind to people. It's just, it's my creed in life to please be kind. Let's be kind to each other. Let's be kind to ourselves. That's part of loving yourself. Be thoughtful and kind and try to look out for yourself. And when you might make a mistake, be kind to yourself. I can't preach this enough. I preach it every week in some form or another. But really, be kind. Think of yourself as a small child or your favorite friend, and you would definitely be kind to those two individuals. Be kind to yourself, and then extend that. Once you're kind or you love yourself, you're going to extend that out to everyone. You know, if people are trying to merge, yeah, it's frustrating sometimes when you're merging left and there's some person that thinks that they're better than you and they, you know, they're going to wait till the last second and try to merge. But you know what? Smile. You know, maybe you're going to be a second or two off of your course. That's part of the relaxation, but be kind to people. Let them merge into the traffic. What's the hurry anyway? You know, we're all going to get there. And I mean that, you know, physically as well as spiritually. I think that we're all going to get there eventually. I don't know where there is, but hopefully it's where there's lots and lots of love and kindness. Because that's what's going to change our world. It's going to change your life and my life when I'm kind and loving to myself. The more that I'm that way, the more I can give it out. And then when I give it to others, then they pass it on. It is the pay it forward, Lydia method of changing the world. And that is to be kind and to pass it on. You know, to pay it forward. You know, someone is kind to you. Don't just hold on to that and gloat in it. But, you know, as soon as you can, pass that kindness on to someone else. It's another really, really good movie. It's so sad, but it's so true. And, yeah, some people may think it's corny, but, you know, paying it forward is never corny. You know, and I've had people do wonderful things for me and then say to me, just, you know, and I'm thanking them profusely. And it could be something little like I'm in a checkout line and it's very busy and everybody, of course, wants to get their food checked out and or their clothes, whatever, and they want to get home. And then I see the person behind me has three things and they're standing there and I always say to them, hey, would you like to go in front of me? But then there are times when I need to be somewhere and I only have a few things. And you know what? People will let me go in front of them. And sometimes I've had people say to me when they do a kindness for me, they'll say, just pay it forward. And I just think that's the way we're going to change things in this world. Loving ourselves and then paying it forward, you know? Giving some love to someone else, someone that really needs it. I think it's just very important. Okay. The last thing I want you all to remember is we are on this journey to loving ourselves. And we want to share our love. And how important family and friends are. At this wedding that I'm at today, you can feel the love. And there's two families that are kind of merging. And I'm going to tear up. I'm sorry. But it's just so important to love each other. You know, to love each other and to tell each other how much we love each other. And when we go to something as wonderful and joyous as a wedding where love abounds, it's just so important to remember that love. And when two young people or anybody, for that matter, are getting married. You know, to me, the reason we have a ceremony, you can just get married. You know, you can do that. But when you invite family or friends, no matter what it is, if it's a simple gathering on the beach or in the woods or whatever it is, there's a reason we invite others. We want to invite others so that we in our struggle to stay in love, to keep loving each other year after year, I'm here to tell you folks, it's not easy. It's not always easy. It doesn't come easy for anyone. I believe you have to work on love. I believe that, you know, the longer you're together, sometimes the harder that it gets. And I believe that we have friends and family there, and we take pictures of it to remind us, like when a young couple is having their struggles, and we all do in life, that maybe their friends and family can remind them of that beautiful day where they stood up and they said, I'm going to love each other for life in the good times and the bad. I'm sorry. I'm a little verklempt, little emotional, but you know me, folks, I absolutely love, and I love love, and I love such joyous occasions, and I just want you all to remember that you do love your family and your friends, and hopefully yourselves, and I feel that take these moments and remember that our friends and family are our rocks in hard times and also our mirrors. You know, we are all here to learn and grow, and so many times our family and friends are the teachers in our lives. I know they are in my life. They mirror so many things about me, and sometimes that's the way that we can see something in others and wouldn't recognize it if it was ourselves. The good things and the bad things. But you know what? When the day is done, we are all here. We're all learning and growing. And I really want you all, you know, once you're done listening to this, to please go tell someone you love the phone and call that person you've been thinking about and tell them how much you love them. I have so many good friends and family in my life, and I hope I remember to always tell them that I love them. And my son couldn't be here today. I know that he wanted to. There was a part of him that wanted to. And I do have to say that I love my son. And after this radio show, I'm going to go tell him. Yeah, I'm going to do that because it's important. It's important to tell people how much we love them. So, I want you to love today. I want you to call someone and tell them that you love them. I certainly love Nina for helping me. She is most awesome. And I love Brenda, and I also love Lennis, who is in charge of this radio station. It's an all-woman radio station, and, you know, it's just worked out that way. It's not that we're against men or anything, but I do like to celebrate that because women are awesome, let's face it. And men are too, but, you know, I am a woman, so I'm going to side with that. Now, I do want to tell you that all week long we have shows every single day, and you can look them up. You can actually join, like us on Facebook, and so therefore then you'll probably get little things about what we are doing. We have email. You can check us out. I also have a show called LNB, Passage to Empowerment. That's on Mondays. But I'll just go quickly through the lineup and tell you about what's coming up in the near future. So today is Saturday, and tomorrow is, that makes tomorrow Sunday. See, I'm pretty good with these things. I am still thinking. So Sunday is Lennis's show, and she has a psychic hour, and that will be coming up. That is Sunday at, 3 o'clock, and this is all Pacific time. So if you're on the East Coast, just add some hours, or if you're in the middle or the mountain time. Okay, so psychic readings by Lennis, and she's still offering the ninth caller free reading, and this is very, it's worthwhile. You know, to know yourself and love yourself. Maybe she can give you some insight into that. Then we have Monday, Passage to Empowerment, LNB. That's Lydia, Nina, and Brenda. And we start that at 7 o'clock Pacific time. And we are going to be talking about educational empowerment. And do we ever really stop learning? I already blurted out that I love to learn. I try to learn something new every single day. And I usually achieve that in sometimes many things. Okay, and then we're moving on to Tuesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time. We have BYO Brilliance, and that is the brilliance of honoring your heritage. That's with Brenda Berry, and she always has a very enlightening, brilliant, shining star of a show. I love her. Okay, and then Wednesday we have In the Studio with Lennis at 7 o'clock. It's an entertaining show, and she does hot topics and sometimes sports, things like that. It's never a dull moment on hot topics, so tune in at 7 o'clock. On Thursday, 6 o'clock Pacific time, we have Filmcology with Brenda Berry, and she is amazing in, one of my favorite movies, The Wizard of Oz. Oh, my gosh. Now, you could talk about the psychology of that all day. So she mixes film and psychology, and she calls it Filmcology. Please watch that. You'll love it. I mean, listen to that and call in. Yeah. And then on Friday at 5 o'clock Pacific time is Friday Traffic Jams, and Lennis is doing 60s classics. And, you know, she tries to just lighten things up after your week. Maybe you're driving home. And so that is, that's a great show to listen to, especially if you like music. Lennis has eclectic taste, so listen to that. And then we have on Saturday, that's July 26th, we have my show, Time to Love. And it's going to be my birthday bash. We're going to celebrate the good times. I'm going to encourage you to celebrate your life, celebrate your birthday. I just really cannot understand people who go, you know, it's my birthday. I'm going to be 61, and I'm proud of it. I'm so grateful that I've been on the planet, and I get another day to love and to learn about myself. So then, you know, that wraps up the week. And I'm not sure if Nina has anything to comment about. I so appreciate her being here. I'm sorry, Brenda. You tried to call me, and I couldn't hear you really well, and I was really trying to get on. But my friends look out to me, for me. They look out for me, and I just really, really appreciate them. So thank you, friends.
Hey, Lydia,
Emily.
I am here.
Yes, sweetheart.
I am here, and
I
do. I just want to thank
good.
You for this wonderful show. It was a great show. I enjoy listening to you. Very, very entertaining. And as you know, I am going on holidays shortly, so I think we're going to hear all about that on L&B one of these days.
Oh, I hope so, because, you know, it just gives you a freshness. Yes, something to learn.
It does, a freshness and new perspective. It does a lot. Yes. It does a lot for me. Calming.
It really
of
does.
Course, I'm going to my mountains, so of course I'm going to be calm.
Yes. I love it. So I know that you're going to have an awesome time, and I do want to hear all about it. And I will see you on Monday on LNB. Or not see
you,
but
bet, and have a wonderful time at your wedding celebration.
Yes.
And
yes. You know, it was a morning wedding. It was quite unusual, but they were trying to beat the heat, and it was the quickest ceremony I've ever been to because we stood out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It was 15 minutes, so it was quick and easy. And then we went inside, and we had a brunch. It was quite different, but absolutely, I'm overjoyed that my godson got to marry the love of his life. It just, you know me, I'm a mush, and it just his wife is so beautiful and wonderful. And as his mother said, she makes him a better man. And I'm all for that. I think that's what
we
do a lot of times.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't think you know this, but today is my son and his wife's anniversary, their 11th anniversary. And that is exactly how I feel about my daughter-in-law. She is the best thing that has ever happened to my son.
Oh. And that's just a reason to celebrate. So now the wedding's over, but the wedding party is here. We're at the Entrada Inn, and it is absolutely breathtaking. I will post some pictures, but I'm having problems with everything. I forgot to bring my camera, so I just have my phone. But we're going to go sit by the pool a little bit. We're going to take a dip, and we're going to party hardy. You know, this is Mormon country. There was no alcohol at these celebrations, which is absolutely fine. I don't need to have alcohol. But, you know, we're going to have a toast, and we're just going to really enjoy each other. My dear friends, Margie and her fiancé, Andre, we're going to have a great time. So that's what we're doing.
Well, you do that and have safe travels home, and yes. I can't wait to hear about the adventures on the way home.
Okay, I swear to God, it was white-knuckling it for a little bit there till I just decided that God had a plan, and I relaxed about it, but it was funny. And you know what? And happy anniversary to your son and his beautiful wife, and I hope that they are still loving each other. I know they're still loving each other.
Yeah,
two
of course
kids
they
later.
Are.
I know they are. So God bless you, and give your beautiful husband, Jim, a big kiss. I'm feeling a lot of love. So make sure you pass that on to Jim, okay?
I sure will.
Okay, love you, and I'm going to, well, maybe I won't take us out with, no, I won't take us out. Well, maybe I can.
Well, I can.
With this. Okay, or this. Let's see if I can. There we go. Thank you, Jenny.
Love you, Lydia.
Love you, too. Thank you.
You can sing the country song. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. Easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
Love someone, and if you're not with someone, call someone and tell them how much you love them. Till next week, have a great day.